Shalom and chazak ve'amatz. Shalom in Hebrew simply means peace. Chazak ve'amatz means be strong and very courageous. My name is David Oakes. I'm the pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I'm also founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. One of the main outreaches of our church and of our ministry is we take churches and pastors from around the nation to the nation of Israel and teach them in their congregations. We also go throughout the United States teaching seminars on Israel and the end times. And that's the purpose of this radio broadcast today, is to open up the Bible with you and to study Israel and the end times and how to live successful lives in this end times. Did you know by the Bible you can tell the hour that we live in? And you can tell that Jesus, the Son of the living God, is going to enter into the clouds of glory and call his church unto himself soon and very soon. So we want to take the word of God. The Bible says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the only way that you're going to have understanding and correct understanding of the word of God is to open it up and study the subject, the specific subjects that we're speaking on today, to study this subject, glory to God, with a notebook, with your writing pen, with your marker for your Bible, and go ahead, write in your Bible, make notations in it. God's not going to get mad at you. Glory to God. So let's open up the Bible together concerning the subject of Israel and the end times, and let's see what God has to say. And I'll give you some insight. It's not the same thing as CNN has to say. It's not the same thing as CBS has to say. It's not the same thing as NBC and ABC and MSNBC. They don't say the same thing as God says all the time. Politicians don't even say the same thing God says concerning Israel. And so we want to find out what the Bible says. First, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. Now, we have a situation in 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. David had not become king of Israel yet. For those of you who know a little bit about the Bible, Saul was king. Saul's disobedience put him in a position where God was going to remove him from being king. I want you to know what the Bible says in Daniel. God who setteth up kings and removeth kings. I mean, God's in the removal of kings business. Did you hear that? God's in the removal of kings. If someone is not functioning and flowing in accordance with the word of God, God will remove somebody and set up somebody else. Now notice this. That's a whole nother sermon in itself. Now chapter 12, David has gone unto the Philistines, and the Philistines have granted David a city of his own called Ziklag. And David had a few that were with him, but not nearly enough to run a country. But something started moving in the hearts of the people, and they began to realize, and it was God-inspired, that David was to be king of Israel and the wholeness of Israel. And so people, by the inspiration of God, began to leave the groups that they were in and begin to ally themselves with David. The Bible in chapter 12 talks about there were men who were mighty, who had weapons of war, who had singleness of heart. They didn't have double purpose, but they had single purpose, and they joined themselves with David. Then there was one tribe that was a really special tribe, and I think we need to find ourselves in this tribe also. Verse 32 says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." So verse 22 said, "For at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host like the host of God." So here are all these men of war coming into David. And then that tribe of Issachar, they were men that had understanding of the times. They knew what hour they were living in. They knew by study of the word of God the times that they were living in. It wasn't good enough just to have a strong army. They had to know the time that they were living in so that that army could go forth and do for the kingdom of God what needed to be done and set up and establish the kingdom unto David, and David be king over Israel. Now notice what else it says, "which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do." Well, that's what we go around in the nation And we teach people throughout the nation. We teach in schools. We teach, glory to God, what Israel ought to do in this time. You know, world pressure comes on Israel sometimes, and they bow to world pressure. You know, it's always nice to have people like you. Did you hear that? Don't you like to be liked? Well, Israel likes for people to like them too. As I move amongst political leaders in the nation of Israel, as I go into what the world calls the occupied territories, which the Bible calls Judea and Samaria, 90% of the Bible took place in what the world calls the West Bank, but God calls it Judea and Samaria in the Word of God. So let's refer to it the way God refers to it, as Judea, Samaria. Even the Gaza Strip, God said to David that the Gaza area on the coastal area of the Mediterranean, God said, belonged unto the tribe of Judah. It's a territorial possession of the tribe of Judah. That's the very tribe Jesus of Nazareth came from. And so, glory to God, you go over there and you talk to them, and they just want to be liked. And so a lot of times they do things that are contrary to the Israelis, contrary to what God says they ought to do, just because they want people to like them. Well, I'm sure you were that way at one time or another, weren't you? You just try to do things sometimes to get people to like you. But when God says that you ought to be doing something else, then that's not good enough. You know, some people say, well, I go out and I drink because I just want people to like me. And the only time they like me is when I go do wild and crazy things. Well, but that's not what the Lord wants for your life. That's not what God's best is for your life. God's best for your life is to move and function in His power, to move and function, glory to God, in His prosperity, to move and function in His healing, to move and function in His peace of mind, and peace in the household, peace in the home, peace in your marriage, peace with your children. That's God's best for you. And so a lot of people do just what the Israelis do. They do things. They compromise just to have people like them. They want people to like them. But notice the tribe of Issachar said this concerning them. They were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. So I go around and I teach people, and I teach in Israel, and I teach political functions. I teach them what Israel ought to do. It's something that the Jewish people have a Christian Bible teacher, a Christian pastor, come and teach them what the Bible says Israel ought to do. It's something else. But notice this, it says that they know what Israel ought to do and that they had understanding of the times. You know, Jesus said something in line with that very thing in chapter 16 of Matthew. Jesus said, I'll read it to you from verse 1, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" Jesus said, man, you're real good about stepping out on your front porch and looking up into the sky and saying, well, it's going to rain today. Oh, it's going to be hot today. It's going to be humid. I mean, you know, and then they go and they see the glow around the moon at the nighttime and they say, oh, it's going to be, the weather's going to be this tomorrow. The weather's going to be that. But Jesus said, you're hypocrites. You know why? He says, because you can read the signs that are in the sky with the clouds and things, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. I tell you what, one of the most important things for us in life as human beings, whether you're born again by the blood of Jesus, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, or whether you're just walking out there and you're aware of God, but you don't serve God. I mean, there's one thing that's important for us. And that's to be able to discern the signs of the times, just like the tribe of Issachar that came unto David. Did you get that? You can be strong, you can be mighty, but until you have that part that knows what time they're living in, then you're not going to be successful, because you're not going to be focusing your strength the correct direction and the correct way. So that's the basis of our study. We want you to understand the time that you're living in. The Bible tells us the things that we can know and signs that point us to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Glory be unto God. I believe He's coming, and I hope you're ready for Him to come. I hope your life's right and your life is correct. You know, I used to be one that didn't live really a good life. You know, I went out and I partied and I did those kinds of things. A lot of people in Bartlesville might remember me doing some of those things. I was one of those wild musicians with long hair. But let me tell you something. I got into the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord ministered unto me. Told me that He had called me to preach and teach His gospel. Now I go around the world preaching and teaching His gospel. Over 80 times in the foreign field teaching and preaching His gospel. Glory to God. Used to be wild, a wild partier. And you can read into that whatever you want. I was a wild partier. But the Word of God, hallelujah, made a difference and a change in my life. And I'm so glad that happened. Oh, it's so marvelous that it happened because I can read the signs of the time and I know Jesus is coming back. And one of the greatest signs in all the earth is that little nation over there next to the Mediterranean called the nation of Israel. In Hebrew, Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. So we're going to open up the Bible and we're going to begin to look at Israel, her right to be where she's at, her right to stay where she's at, and what will occur with us if we get on God's side. Glory be unto God. Let's start in Genesis. In Genesis. Glory be unto God. Genesis, the 12th chapter. God is speaking to Abraham, or Abram at that time. He hadn't added the H to the name yet. That's a very important letter in Hebrew, that H. We might get into that later. Chapter 12, I'll begin reading. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, I want you to notice this. Now, we could go through a long dissertation, but we'd use up all of our time if we did, going into the book of Romans. We might later, but we're not going to now. And we can find out when God speaks about blessing Abraham, God is speaking also about blessing the seed that comes forth from Abraham's loins, his biological seed. We have to realize this when we study the Word of God, and you can study, if you study the Hebrew language, it's much more evident than it is in English. The Bible calls Jesus the seed of Abraham, in singular. And then the Bible calls the children of Israel the seed of Abraham, and in Hebrew it is plural. It's more than one, and you can read that by context, whether God's speaking of singularly, whether He's speaking of Jesus, or plural, whether He's speaking of the people, the children of Israel, the biological seed that came forth from Abraham. And so we have to be very, very careful. Some Christians believe that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has taken the place of the Jewish people. Oh, they say they rejected the Messiah Jesus. So now the church has moved in and they've taken all of the things that God had promised to the Jewish people. Well, that's just not the truth, my friends. That's just not the truth. There are certain things that are set aside for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are things that are set aside for the Jewish people, the biological seed of Abraham. Now, here's an interesting thing that you need to know before we go on with Genesis, the 12th chapter. In 1 Corinthians, we have some things that are just important for you to know, because God classifies the three types of people that are on the face of the earth. He says in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Now, he starts out with, don't offend Jewish people. And the second thing is, don't offend Gentiles. Now, the word Gentiles should have been translated more properly Some translations will have Greeks, but more properly, it should have been nations. So you can't offend the Jews, and you can't offend the nations. And then it says you can't offend the final group of people, which most of us are probably, the church of God. Those of us who have called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have applied the benefits of his redeeming blood to our spirit man, and we have become born again. We have become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We're the third group. And God says you can't bring offense to that third group, but he starts out with Jews. You cannot offend Jews. That's the biological seed of Abraham. We're the spiritual seed because of faith of Abraham, but there is a biological seed of Abraham, the Jewish people. Now, you got people out there that are mean to Jewish people. I mean, they're just ugly to them. Well, let me tell you what. My Bible says that if you curse a Jewish person, if you're mean to them, you're going to get back meanness. If you bless them, you're going to get back blessing. Now, see, we need to start out right there. You cannot bring offense to a Jewish person. You can't make Jewish jokes. Are you listening to me? You can't make Jewish jokes. You can't offend them. You can't curse them. That's not what the Bible says to do. The Bible says, number one, don't bring offense to a Jew. Don't do it. Now, that's the biological seed. Now, here's the wondrous thing. Here's the glorious thing, that out of the Jews and out of the nations, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord out of those two groups of people, and you just as well know that before the church came, before Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead and the day of Pentecost occurred, you need to know something, that there God only saw two groups of people. He saw the Jewish people and he saw the nations of the earth, and we're going to study that together. You need to be here with us every Sunday while we're teaching on this subject. It'll open your eyes to something. God only saw two groups of people. He saw the Jews and the nations. Then Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross, rose after 3 days, walked the face of the earth for 40 days. At the end of that 40 days, he was on the Mount of Olives. God called him into heaven. He ascended, and those that were watching watched him go up into the clouds of glory. Hallelujah. And something occurred from that day. Anyone who called upon his name, whether Jews or from the nations, entered into a new group of people, and that new group of people was the church of the living God. Though it doesn't matter what denominational label you have on your head. It doesn't matter if you are Baptist or if you're Catholic or if you're full gospel or if you're whatever you are. It doesn't matter. Presbyterian, if you've called on the name of the Lord God Almighty, you've entered into the church of God, the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Whether the name of your church is the church of God or not, you've entered in to the body of Christ, the church of God. So the church occurs by people coming out of the Jews who call on the name of the Lord. They believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and they confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord. The Bible says in Romans 10, 8 through 10, that they will be saved. And so they come out of the Jewish group, and they come out of the nations, and they form the newest group, which is the church of the living God. And we can't offend. Now, let me tell you what. We're going to find out some things in the Bible that groups of people who offend the Jewish people, nations that offend the Jewish people, we probably won't get to it today, but we're going to get to it in the weeks to come, so you stay with us, that God says, I will give lives for my people. I mean, God will go to battle for the Jewish people, and those who are persecuting them, nations that are persecuting them, will be put down. And God said, I'll give men's lives for that. And we'll find that in the Word of God together as we go. Now go back there with Genesis, the 12th chapter. We took a little side trip. Is that okay? Sure it is. Now notice this. He says in verse 2 of chapter 12 of Genesis, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I just don't think that I can go on, because people need to realize you are bringing harm to yourself when you curse the Jewish people. I'm going to repeat myself. When you tell those ugly, nasty jokes, those stereotypical jokes, and you bring stereotypes against the Jewish people, you are cursing them, and that doesn't open the way for good things to happen in your life, my friend. Just doesn't do it. Now, going on down. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And we could teach on that, but we're going to go on. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls, look at that, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So here God said, go, lech lecha, go ye, is what, get thee out and go in Hebrew. Now notice this, so they just started going. We can find more about that by studying in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And they just went and they walked and they walked. And it says in verse 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem. In Hebrew, it's Shechem. Shechem. Shechem is an interesting place because it is modern Nablus. Have you heard it in the news about Nablus being spoken of? That is ancient Shechem. The Hebrew word is Shechem, which means a lot, like a portion that you have ownership over. But then when the Romans conquered the Holy Lands, they changed the name of Shechem to Napolis. Napolis. Napolis, because the Arabs have difficulty saying the letter B, is pronounced by the Arab-speaking peoples, Nablus. Nablus. Now, we can find it also in John, the 4th chapter in the New Testament, when Jesus went to the well, and there the woman gave him drink from the water of the well, the Samaritan woman, and it says that they were in Sychar. Well, that word Sychar, that name for that city, is the same city as Shechem. So where Jesus was at the well with the Samaritan woman, which is modern-day Nablus, except for Hebrew-speaking people, and it's still called Shechem. And by me, it's called Shechem. I was just in Shechem a few weeks ago. I was right on the outskirts, and I went up to exactly where Abraham's proceeding up, that God begins to speak to him. I made my way up there, and I looked over the modern city of Nablus, which has the largest Arab population in the northern part of the West Bank, or the Samaria region, or the mountains of Israel region that the Bible speaks of, the mountains of Israel. That's the area it's speaking of. And I was just there, but I want you to notice what happened when Abraham came into that place. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Now, here's something we have to understand. You go right up from Shechem, if you can imagine this in your mind with me, and you go up a little hill, up to a little small, what we call small mountain in the United States probably, up to this place called the Plain of Moreh. Now, that's not a good translation in English. I hate to bring this to you, because the word plain there is the Hebrew word alone. If we transliterated it or brought it over from the Hebrew characters into English, the English alphabet, it would be spelled A-L-O-N. Now, that's an interesting word because my name is David Oaks. Again, this is Pastor David Oaks, pastor of the Light Church Fellowship. I'm teaching you the Word of God here. Light Church Fellowship is located at 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville. If you want to call us sometime, pick up that phone, 918-333-2838. So my last name, that was a little commercial entry right there. My last name, if it's translated, because my last name is Oaks, like the tree, like more than one oak tree. My last name is Alonim. It is spelled A-L-O-N-I-M, if we transliterate it, bring it from the Hebrew characters into the English alphabet. And so Alonim is plural. That S on the end of it in English makes it more than one. Im, I-M, in Hebrew makes it more than one. So actually, if you take off that S, my last name would be Alon, Oak. And so we have here the Plain of Moreh, but in Hebrew it actually is Alon Moreh, or the Oak of Moreh. So there was an oak there. God led Abraham to a tree. And probably it's like if you've ever been out hiking or something and you're tired after going a long ways, you'll just sit down at the base of that tree and just lean up against it. Well, I'm sure that's pretty similar to what Abraham did. Now, that Elon Moreh is up. The Oak of Moreh, the Plain of Moreh, is up on that small mountain. I just stood there a few short weeks ago. Been there 15, 20 times probably on top of that hill. Been up on top of that hill. And from there, you can look down. You can see Shechem. You can see the Tirzah Valley. Oh, it's a gorgeous thing. You can see the way. You can see the way that the children of Israel came in across the Jordan River into the promised land after Joshua took the leadership after Moses had passed away. And so up there on that mountain, something occurred. And Abraham passed through the land, verse 6 of Genesis 12. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was there in the land. Now the word Moreh is a word that is like teacher. It's like illumination. And notice what it says, and the Lord Jehovah appeared unto Abram, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the land who appeared unto him. So the first place that God brings Abram to is this place. And he began to worship him, and God revealed to him, and God exposed his will and his plan to Abraham. That hill, the Elon Moreh, the Oak of Moreh, which overlooks Shechem, modern-day Nablus, and God said to Abram, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now, we can find out as we study more that that seed that he gave that land to was Abraham's biological seed. So even though there are Arab peoples in that land right now, God said that land belongs unto Abraham's seed. And we'll find out in the coming weeks that that seed passed because he gave these decrees also to Abram, his son, Isaac, and his son Jacob. So that's the lineage that the seed came from to the modern day Jewish people. Glory be unto God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, we're going to stop there because we're running a little short on time.